Welcome to Resolution, an initiative of Josh McDowell Ministry. Here we equip you to help youth overcome hurts and struggles and start thriving in life with Christ and others. I'm your host, Ben Bennett. Welcome to Season 1. Hey everyone, Ben Bennett here, and thanks for checking out today's episode of the Resolution Podcast. And today we're going to be continuing to discuss part three of the wholeness apologetic model, finishing up part three of that model, and we'll continue to explore how to choose wholeness in our lives, how to experience a healthy relationship with God, with ourselves, and with others. And if you don't know what I'm referring to, I highly encourage you to check out the past three episodes, and specifically episode 9, where we began exploring this part of the wholeness apologetic model. And today we are specifically going to explore how to have healthy relationships with others, which is crucial to experience healing, freedom, and a thriving life. And this topic is so crucial because, as we've talked about before, we are hurt in relationships and we need to be healed in relationships. And that can be so challenging for a number of reasons. See, one of the things we need the most is something we can greatly fear because of our hurt and our unmet longings from negative experiences with others. But this life wasn't meant to be lived alone. It's not satisfying when we try to go it alone, but many are trying to do that for one reason or another. A couple statistics. A study from Youth Mental Health Canada this year found 60% of individuals ages 10 to 20 said they had no one to turn to with an emotional or mental health problem. Another study found that young people today are 63 times more lonely than people their grandparents' age. And one more, this lack of relationships and connection isn't just affecting young people. So I wanted to share this statistic. A study by OnePoll last year found that the average American hasn't made a new friend in the past 5 years. We need one another more than ever before. We need other people to help us heal from our hurts, to help us overcome our struggles, and to help us thrive in life. See, rather than just self-help, we need others' help. A perfect example is right now, you're listening or watching this podcast, and although I can't hear you or see you, I know it's a little bit creepy, you are checking out this podcast to receive something. Maybe it's help for yourself. Maybe it's help for someone else. Maybe because you're trying to learn some things, how to heal from hurts and start to thrive in life. Maybe just to grow in some aspect. We need God and we need one another for these things. So let's get into it today. When I was in fifth and sixth grade, I spent a lot of my time outside of school and actually in school with two of my best friends. And we had a lot of fun together doing things that middle schoolers love to do. Skateboarding, talking about girls, watching movies, exploring outside. But we were pretty harsh with one another. And it was the norm for them specifically to call me names, to make fun of my weight, to say that I was weird and annoying and to tease me. And I wanted so badly to be loved and accepted for who I was, but that often wasn't the case with them. I took their words as truth and I began to believe the lies they were telling me. So in the seventh grade, when my family moved to a different city and school, I had to start all over, but because of those previous experiences, I made a vow that things would be different this time. Again, I believe that I was the problem, so I shut down and didn't talk much because I didn't want to be annoying. I lost weight so that I wouldn't be embarrassed again. I wanted to be viewed as cool and to be accepted. What I learned and was living out is that I had to hide to survive. To put on a front, to be accepted. And that worked for a year or two. And I was one of the popular kids in school. It was awesome temporarily. Like, between classes, walking the halls, people giving my friends and I high fives, people following us around. It was like the scene out of a movie. It felt super cool at the time, but looking back, it wasn't that cool. But ultimately, it wasn't satisfying. I wasn't being who God had created me to be. I was faking it and hiding so much of what was going on inside me. It wasn't until I went away to college that that began to change. I got around a group of people who loved me as I was, accepted me, and helped me understand the love of Jesus. And I began sharing my secrets with the things I thought I'd never tell anyone. My struggles with unwanted sexual behavior, my deep hurt from growing up, and that began to change everything. And that wasn't an accident. It's clear throughout Scripture that what heals and grows people the most is relationships. Of course, that happens in our relationship with Jesus and as the Holy Spirit works in us, but God has designed us to deeply need people. Other people have the ability to model to us the love and acceptance of Jesus and his character. They help us know and believe our true value and identity. Some may think, it's just me and Jesus. As that song says, take the world, but give me Jesus. Absolutely love that song. It's incredible. But we can't forget that we need people. And we also can't forget what the first crisis was in human history. And I'm not talking about sin entering the world in Genesis 3. I'm talking about before then. Yes, there was a crisis. I'm talking about Genesis 2. When God looked at the earth he had created, plants, animals, even a man. But then he said, it is not good for the man to be alone in Genesis 2:18. But didn't the man, Adam, have God right there in the Garden of Eden with him? Yes, but God himself saw that Adam was alone. Not lonely, there's a big difference there, but alone meaning that there was no other human to live life with. And this was not good, so God created Eve. Even more, the New Testament uses the words one another 100 times. And many of the times the phrase is used, it's in the context of loving one another, supporting one another, having healthy unity and relationships with one another. This overwhelmingly reveals that we need one another. Even God himself has eternally existed in relationships. In both the Old and New Testament, the Bible teaches that God is a Trinity. God exists as three persons, yet he is one being. Each person, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, has a separate identity, but the same essence of nature as the others. In short, God is one in essence and three in persons. And we were created in the image of God by a relational God. So it's no coincidence that healthy relationships with others is crucial to our flourishing. See, nothing can make an impact on us like relationships or lack thereof. We are hardwired for relationships and connection from even inside the womb. We can't even survive initially, yet alone thrive without human relationships. We see this all throughout society. So much research has been done on the importance of the role of a primary caregiver, which is typically a parent. One well-known study in particular called the Still Face Experiment paired infants with a primary caregiver. The adult would play face-to-face with the child without toys for 3 minutes before turning away for just a couple seconds. And upon looking back at the infant, the caregiver was instructed to remain completely unresponsive, maintaining eye contact, but making no facial expressions for 2 minutes. Then the caregiver would resume playing as before for 3 minutes. But the results of this study were profound. I mean, you can Google it, the Still Face Experiment online. I will warn you, it's super uncomfortable to watch. But the moment the caregiver turns away and becomes unresponsive, the babies immediately feel this shift from connection to disconnection. Within the two still face minutes, the infants seem desperate to reconnect and get a response from the caregiver. They reach out, they point, they start crying, they start kicking anything, it seems, to try and get that connection again of the caregiver. And it isn't until the caregiver re-engages in play and smiling and laughter with the child that the infant feels reconnected and happy and no longer in distress. This experiment reveals how important connection and relationships are to us as humans, and how destructive even 2 minutes of disconnection can be. God made us as relational beings, and our need for connection with others is apparent from the earliest moments of childhood. We are created to be fully known and fully loved by God and others. We're created to be connected, to be accepted, to be understood, to be safe in relationships. And this allows us to truly thrive. No thriving person is isolated and disconnected, and no isolated person who is disconnected is thriving. But so many of us can fear this. We crave to be fully known and connected, yet we also fear it. If you are intentionally holding on to hurts, to unwanted behaviors, to secret sin, and telling someone almost everything, but not quite everything, that is the enemy's playground for shame, lies, and disconnection. Here's what happens. Someone may give you a compliment or show you appreciation, and that could fulfill a longing, but you dismiss it. It's hard to receive because the weight of the shame or guilt from what you may be hiding. I've been there. I've thought, if they really knew me, if they knew what I did last night, last week, about that thing, they wouldn't accept me. They wouldn't have said the same thing to me. So often we filter people's words or actions through our shame and guilt, and all the while God is trying to lavish his love, acceptance, and safety upon us, but we can't see or experience it. Only the parts of us that we allow to be truly known can be fully loved. Let me say that again. Only the parts of us that we allow to be truly known can be fully loved. I'm not saying that we have to tell everyone everything. I'm not saying to run up and grab the mic at church and announce to the world all of your secret things that you've never shared with anyone. That's a terrible idea. But what I am saying is that for all people, young and old, it is crucial that we have a couple safe people who know all of us. They know our hurts, they know our struggles, and they know our deepest, darkest secrets, and yet they love, accept, and encourage us. Rejection and shame are the primary factors that keep people from sharing all of themselves with others. And the only way to get back to healthy connection is by taking the risk of being fully known. One of my good friends and mentors, Dr. Ted Roberts, once told me, "What we need the most is what we fear the most." And that can be so hard because maybe we've been hurt deeply by people. Maybe we've been rejected, unappreciated, or shared in the past a struggle that we're facing, and we've experienced judgment. Maybe we have learned to be so shut down, to hide, to survive. But as researcher and author Brené Brown has shared, vulnerability is the birthplace of love, belonging, joy, courage, empathy, and creativity. We need vulnerability. So let me share an example of how I saw vulnerability start to transform someone's life. A couple years ago, I was speaking to students at a conference about mental health, unwanted sexual behavior, and healing. And after, a girl came running up to me with her friend and said, "Hey, I've been struggling with porn and masturbation, and I never told anyone until moments ago when I shared it with my friend." And she went on to introduce me to that friend who is standing there and say how thankful she was for the talk that I gave, and that hope broke through in her life, and that she was so excited to begin her journey of finding freedom as her friend supported her. What I saw in her life was that true vulnerability, that coming out of hiding to get help from others and risk being fully known and fully loved. Compulsive issues, unwanted behaviors, and shame cannot remain intact when we come out of hiding and ask Jesus and others for help and move from disconnection toward connection. Several years ago, British journalist Johan Hari made headlines with his TED Talk, where he shared, "The opposite of addiction is not sobriety. The opposite of addiction is connection." Hari witnessed firsthand the chaos of compulsive and unwanted behaviors with loved ones. This led him on a journey of research and discovery into proven treatment models for those struggling. Johan discovered that addiction was less about the high from the drug, smartphone, behavior, and so on, than it was about the inability of individuals to get their needs met through healthy connection with others. His key findings were consistent with what God has revealed in the Bible. We need meaningful connection with others to heal, to find freedom, and to flourish. You may be saying, okay, Ben, I get it and I agree. We need one another. But how does all of that play out in my life? Or how does that play out in the life of my kids or the life of the students or young people in my life? Well, it involves creating or finding environments that foster spiritual, emotional, and relational wholeness. An environment that is safe, where people can experience the fulfillment of their longings, get the support they need, and be fully known and fully loved. Practically, that environment looks like two primary things. First, it includes an environment where the truth about God and your value is clearly taught from the scriptures. So in this environment, an accurate view of God as your loving Father and your true identity as someone made in His image is taught. Maybe when you were a kid, you had a parent, teacher, or another authority figure verbally communicate to you that you weren't good enough. Could have been critical words, seeing their disapproving face when you messed up, or experiencing their anger. That information about who you are is inaccurate. Or maybe you just never learned what the Bible actually says about who God is and who He declares you to be. People will have so many opinions about who you are or who God is, but only the Creator determines what is actually true. So investigate what the Bible says about these things. Get around people who you can learn from. Get involved in a church or small group where these things are taught. Grow in your understanding of the Bible, the nature of God, your relationship with God, and the implications on your daily life and purpose. Or if you already know what the Bible says about these things, teach it to others and the young people in your life. I remember how crucial that was when I was in the depths of hopelessness with my struggle with porn. I was about 22 and I had been trying to find freedom from pornography, but I went back to it again after months of not struggling with it. I felt so hopeless. I felt that God couldn't change me, that He didn't have healing power or the answers that I needed, because I was trying everything that Christians were telling me, but I wasn't able to find lasting freedom. I felt like just giving up and diving in and running from God and giving in to all of my cravings and wanting nothing to do with God anymore. And I remember meeting up with one of my mentors at the time, Brett Miller, and he responded with such compassion, empathy, and he didn't try to fix me. He said, I know it's tough, and man, keep going. I don't have all the answers, but here's what I do know. And he reminded me of John 6:68, when Simon Peter said to Jesus, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And Brett didn't have all the answers, and he didn't need to, but all he needed to do was remind me of the one who did and encourage me to keep going. And that is exactly what happened. That kept me going. That kept me hoping. And eventually I found answers and God brought healing and freedom. I'm so glad that God and Brett Miller did not give up on me that day, because I'm not sure that I would be sitting here today walking in freedom and healing and even doing this podcast and being able to help others. We need to remind people of the truth and the one who holds the answers to all of our struggles in life. We need to remind people what God has revealed in His Word and of the Jesus who can set people free. Second, it includes people who model the truth about who you are in Christ, who God says you are, and how much you're loved and valued. This means spending time with people who know and help you know that you are loved, valued, and useful to God and others. This is people who love and accept you for who you are, not what you can do. This category isn't primarily verbal, although that's important, but this category is experiential. It's relational. These are people who don't just verbally tell you how much they love and care about you. They show you. They live it out to you. They're kind, compassionate, slow to anger. They take interest in your life. They affirm your feelings when you're hurting. They live out the 7 longings that we explored in episodes 4 and 5. They treat you the way Jesus treats you. You know that you can share anything with them and they won't judge you. They'll only seek to help you. This is so important because healing happens experientially in relationships. Even down to a neuroscientific level, knowledge, intellectual truth, or facts alone don't change or heal people. Jesus heals people as we experience truth in relationships, and that engages our limbic system, our emotional brain, and that will lead us to new default core beliefs within us. Knowledge and truth must be applied and experienced. And for many of us, as leaders, as parents, and for the many young people in our lives, we need to dive deeper and develop what I call proactive support. Because so many are struggling with unmet longings, hurt, and unwanted behaviors. We need a daily lifestyle of processing our emotions, stress, and pain with a couple safe people. See, we don't just fall into our unhealthy choices. We go through recurring patterns and cycles before ending back in the places that we swore we'd never go again. We react to challenges, criticism, stress, and start believing lies and feeling emotions like anger, sadness, or fear. We then begin thinking of ways to cope with or escape these emotions or try to find the fulfillment of these longings. These cycles of trigger and response often operate at a subconscious level. They've been ingrained in us, leading to fixed brain pathways and must be reprogrammed. What we need is help in those moments when our reactive thinking and emotions begin. We need support, encouragement, help, and love to grow and overcome unhealthy choices. Healing begins for us when we develop a lifestyle of reaching out rather than acting out. So practically, here's what that looks like. When you go throughout your day and you experience an activating event, which is a situation in which you're tempted to turn to an unwanted behavior or to get anxious and worry and stay there, or turn inward and start telling yourself lies. Take a moment to press pause in your mind and walk through the following process. One, identify the unmet longing you're feeling. Is it rejection, feeling unappreciated, a lack of safety? Number two, acknowledge the God-given longing that underlies that sensation, that feeling, what you're going through. For example, if you're feeling rejected, you're feeling an unmet longing for acceptance. Or if you're feeling insecure in some way, the God-given longing that's being threatened or unfulfilled is the longing for assured safety and security. Number three, counter the negative core beliefs you might be telling yourself with the truth. For example, I'm feeling worthless and inadequate, but God says I am of great worth in His sight, and people around me affirm that reality. Start thinking about ways that you've experienced that and memories that back up that truth. And number four, and this one is huge, seek the fulfillment of that unmet longing in healthy ways. It could be expressing your need to a trusted friend or a group of friends. For example, maybe it's calling or meeting with a friend and saying, here's what's going on in my life. I'm experiencing these unmet longings. I experience rejection, or I'm feeling devalued because of this situation, or I'm thinking that I'm not good enough. And asking them to remind you of what is true, of what God says about you. Ask them to encourage you with how they see you as your close friend. We need others to tell us the truth, to encourage us, to love on us when we're experiencing unmet longings and are struggling to believe it ourselves. And these few steps, repeated often again and again when you experience an activating event, can reprogram your heart and rewire your brain to live into wholeness. And what you'll find is that you'll start to experience new beliefs, experiencing what is true on a foundational level, and the greater fulfillment of your longings when you go to God and other people in healthy ways to experience them being met. So when we get anxious, we identify the unmet longing and experience its fulfillment through Jesus and others. When we get depressed, we identify the unmet longing and experience its fulfillment through Jesus and others. When we want to go back to porn, overeating, or some kind of unwanted behavior, we identify the unmet longing and experience its fulfillment through Jesus and others. When we feel so angry, bitter, or so much shame, we identify that unmet longing and we experience its fulfillment through Jesus and others. And I've seen God use this process in hundreds of people's lives to bring healing, freedom, and lasting satisfaction. And there's one in particular I want to share with you. There was a student I was working with, I'll call Adam, and he and I and a couple students committed to meeting weekly and throughout the week to call one another, to text one another, to support one another, to help one another start identifying emotions and stress in our lives. And initially, Adam was struggling with porn, masturbation, and putting his identity in his accomplishments. Weeks went by and it came to light that he was lying to us. He had been saying over and over again that he wasn't struggling with porn, that he was staying free from it, but he had actually been returning to it. And it was hard for us to hear, but we said that we loved him, that we accepted him, that he didn't have to hide from us. And he started to risk being known. He started to share honestly, and it wasn't a perfect process. There were other times where he lied to us in the future, but over and over again, he began to open up and to no longer lie and to find freedom from that. And he, over time, he found lasting freedom from porn and masturbation as well, as he began to live a vulnerable life and to go to God and to come to us to process his stress, his unmet longings. And over time, he risked these new experiences where he could be known and loved. And that's what God used to set him free. And one thing that was amazing was he went on to join full-time ministry, to get married, and to minister to so many others and help them know Jesus and find healing and freedom too. And at the risk of oversimplifying things in this podcast episode and in previous episodes, I want to mention that yes, therapy, accountability, medication can all help, but it's so important to start to identify what's at the root of our struggles, our unwanted behaviors, and how we can start to find their fulfillment. So let me encourage you today to take these two steps. Go back and listen to episodes 4 and 5, the 7 longings of thriving, and live out the 7 longings in relationships. Get around people who can live that out with you. It's so important. Again, we are healed experientially by God in relationships with other people. And number 2, commit to a life without any secrets with a couple safe people. Maybe that's a friend, a spouse, a mentor, a pastor. Experience being fully known and fully loved consistently throughout every week. Don't just share everything once a week, but consistently throughout the week as part of an ongoing relationship. And for the young people in your life, encourage them to take those steps as well. As Jesus is at work in us, and as we take steps to experience growth in healthy environments with other people, we can truly see our deepest hurts heal. We can overcome struggles, and we can start to thrive in life. Thanks for listening to the Resolution Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, it would mean so much to us if you rate it, share it, and subscribe. To be part of the global resolution movement, connect with us on social media and YouTube at Resolution Movement. That's at Resolution Movement. And check out resolutionmovement.org for more information and resources. See you soon.